Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers Nation? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks, as always, for being here. We're going to be breaking down practice 10. Practice 10 already of Packers training camp in great detail today. Before we get there, today's show is brought to you in part by Luigi's Frozen Pizzas. There are legitimate arguments in our household between the ultra-thin crust and the fresh dough pizza. Usually we go pepperoni. My son likes pepperoni. My other son likes cheese. We usually take half of the pepperonis and move it to the other half. So we get double pepperoni on one side, cheese on the other. But we cannot decide legitimately whether we want the fresh dough or the ultra thin crust because they're both incredible. And we kind of go back and forth. And this is a regular occurrence. But I have good news for you. There are two other options as well. The Big Daddy is remarkable. And it is, if you're looking for something a little bit more filling, you can go with that. Also, there is the brand new Luigi's Gourmet Pizza Parlor pizza with five traditional flavors to choose from. I actually have not had the opportunity to try the Gourmet Pizza Parlor yet, which means that I have homework to do. And this is probably my favorite homework assignment of all time. And I'm going to be going out and doing that right away because it sounds absolutely delicious. And you can trust that Luigi's is going to be the one that brings you an all new set of pizzas that are absolutely beyond delicious. So check them out over at luigispizza.com. The website is getting redone. It should redirect you to their Facebook page right now. You can also follow them, Luigi's Pizza, on Twitter. That's Luigespizza, the best frozen pizzas in my estimation, the best that I've ever had. And you're definitely going to want to check them out. By the way, if you can't find them in your grocer's aisle, tell them and say you want Luigi's frozen pizzas in your grocery store and get them involved because, like I said, you're going to want to try these things out. Also, reminder, this Saturday, prior to Packers Jets, which is at Lambeau Field, I'm going to be live, Hagemeister Park, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., downtown Green Bay, answering your questions. So get out there. It's a free event. Hagemeister has phenomenal food, phenomenal beer. So you're going to want to go out and check out them. And again, get to the Q&A. I'm going to do a meet and greet at the end of it as well. So if you have the opportunity to get there, we'll still have plenty of time to get over to the game before it starts. So looking forward to that again, 4 to 6 p.m. over at Hagemeister Park this Saturday. Shout out to Carson Tweller for becoming an all-new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member as well. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, now is the time. Lots more members-only content coming. We're going to get to our members-only Q&A later this week. And yeah, lots of great content out there for members. Plus you get early access to videos. So make sure to check that out. Green Bay Packers, as we kind of transition over to what happened on Tuesday and then some of the news and notes surrounding the team, they did have a transaction on the day. Lasita Smith, you may remember him never so slightly training camp as well as a practice squad player in the past. He is back, offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, does have some center ability. Remember, there have been a variety of pretty terrible snaps, especially from the third stringers, I would say. That's been a problem. So maybe they're looking at somebody at center who can be a little bit more reliable when it comes to snapping the football. Not sure exactly the calculus as to why they decided to bring him back, but something tells me that might be a part of it. But they bring him back prior to that preseason game this week. We'll see how involved he is. But Lasita Smith in order to bring him in, they had to make a corresponding move. And that move was unfortunately releasing Sam Brown Jr. with an injury designation. Sam Brown Jr. was having a nice start to camp. What probably happened here is that his injury was going to make it so that he was not going to be able to compete through the remainder of camp or at least miss a huge chunk of it. And it kind of just put him behind the eight ball. They released him with that injury designation. He will revert back to their injured reserve list and then they'll likely work out some sort of injury waiver from there and a settlement from there so that Sam Brown Jr. still gets a little bit of that money, but we'll see how that kind of goes moving forward. But out is Sam Brown Jr., in is offensive lineman Lasita Smith. Around the league, Jordan Addison, Vikings wide receiver, suspended for the first few games of the season. That was the expected outcome, but it is now official, a 3-game suspension for Jordan Addison. As far as practice goes, a variety of injury news and notes. Per Matt LaFleur, nothing long-term for Rashid Walker. Some really good news. Quay Walker was back doing some team drills. He was limited overall. He didn't do a ton, but just the fact that Quay Walker was out there doing actual teamwork, you know, being involved in the 11-on-11s was a great sign. And I would expect that to kind of continue to ramp up. Clearly would not play in the preseason game this upcoming week would be my guess. But either way, great to see him out there doing some teamwork. And he said that he would be ready for week one. So that's a good sign for Quay as well. Meanwhile, Tucker Kraft returned to practice. And this kind of fit with what Matt LaFleur said. Matt said that they'd give him a couple days off. And then hopefully that groin injury would kind of resolve itself. They said he was trying to practice through it. He looked back to himself, didn't seem to have any sort of, you know, injury issues going on, and hopefully that groin injury is behind him. But great to see Tucker Kraft out there. As it was noted by Bill Huber the other day, Nate Hobbs did have that surgery. He's going to be out for the next few weeks. There is hope, I guess, optimism that he can be back for week one of the regular season. Anytime it is a knee injury, to a corner and that there's surgery involved, that's never a great sign. It's great that it's precautionary. It's great that it's a few week injury and that he's expected back for week one, but we're going to have to see how he recovers from this. He was able to stand up in the locker room. It sounds like per Matt Schneidman, he was walking around with a pretty good limp in the locker room, but hopefully 3 weeks and he's back. That Lions Packers game is a big one in week one, and you would love to see Nate Hobbs out there. Meanwhile, it's a bone bruise for Emmanuel Wilson. And that ends up being very good news. Wilson said that he thought he tore his ACL, so this is a much better alternative. He, of course, was not out there at practice, but good news overall that it was not anything more structural for Emmanuel and just that bone bruise. So hopefully he can get back sooner rather than later. Players not practicing included Emmanuel Wilson, Dontayvion Wicks, Nate Hobbs, Rashid Walker, Travis Glover, Kamal Haddon, Aaron Mosby, Marshawn Lloyd, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, John Williams, and then Messiah Swinson was out new with an illness. Hopefully nothing there long-term for Swinson, just with the illness, should be back sooner rather than later. Your starters on the day. Before we get to starters, just really quick, the Packers did release their official depth chart. Don't read anything into it. This is not something that the Packers spend much time on. Matt LaFleur basically has the PR team kind of put it together. There's some interesting stuff on there. Kamal Haddon is the clear number four corner. Emmanuel Wilson is the clear number two running back. There's some interesting things, but do not read anything into it whatsoever. Your starters of the day do make a little bit more of an interesting scenario because they're the ones that are actually out there on the field. Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs and Chris Brooks in the pony package at running back, Tucker Kraft at tight end, Matthew Golden and Romeo Doubs at wide receiver, Jordan Morgan, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom along the offensive line. Your defensive line was Gary Clark, Wyatt, LVN. We get to linebackers in a second. Nixon and Valentine at corner, Williams and McKinney at safety. I noted that at some point this offseason, I think I mentioned it on the Packaday radio show the other day as well, which make sure you're checking that out also, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's awesome. On today, Wednesday, we're talking to Aaron Nagler. If you missed that one, you can check it out over on YouTube on the Packaday radio show as well. But I talked recently about how I thought if there was a three-man linebacker room at package sometime this year with Isaiah Simmons, Quay Walker, and Edgerrin Cooper, that I think it would be the fastest linebacker core or trio on the field in the history of the NFL. I think it legitimately, I don't know what would possibly beat it. And we saw it. We saw it on the field to start practice today. Quay Walker back, flanked by Edgerrin Cooper, and not Isaiah McDuffie, but Isaiah Simmons, and just a unbelievably fast linebacker trio starting with the ones today. That is a really fun group. That linebacker group in particular was flying around, as you can imagine. We'll talk about some of the plays. I don't have this one later, but Isaiah Simmons made a couple of nice plays in the flat again, getting from point A to point B in just ridiculous breakneck speeds. Edgerrin Cooper had a play we'll talk about as well. Just a unbelievably fast linebacker core with Simmons, Quay, and Cooper all together. A lot of rotations today on offense and on defense. There were just some weird things. You would see Xavier McKinney go out. We saw some three-man safety looks with Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, and Zane Anderson. We saw Aaron Banks at one time with the number twos with a bizarro lineup, like Anthony Belton was there at right tackle. It was just some weird stuff that it was really hard to kind of keep track of what mattered, what didn't. Where what it really felt like is, A, they're probably trying to get some of these backups ingrained a little bit more that are about to play a lot this week. Remember, it's a game week. You kind of usually attack this a little bit differently. The guys that are going to play a lot, you kind of want practicing a little bit more. So I think you're starting to see a little bit of mixing and matching here. I think you're still trying to see guys get their reps. So I think that's probably what happened with Aaron Banks is they still wanted him to get some reps. They had some other guys like Jacob Monk and Donovan Jennings get some time with the ones, and therefore they wanted Banks to still get those, so they put him a couple plays with the twos. I wouldn't read anything into it. Just was one of those bizarro practices where you did see a lot of mixing and matching between the ones, the twos, sometimes even the threes on offense and on defense. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code Packaday. Let's get to our player of the day. I'm going Jordan Love on this one. There were three huge plays that we're going to talk. Well, two huge plays, one really nice play that we're going to talk about in just a moment. He was 13 of 20 overall. So what, 65% completion percentage. He did come up short on his 2-minute drive, which we'll talk about. I thought there was maybe a little bit of opportunity there. There were a couple throws here and there. He missed a check down, but he was under pressure and the check down wasn't going to go anywhere anyway. There was one throw over the middle that he completed, but in a game probably would have been a little bit of a hospital ball. In a real game, he may not have thrown that knowing it was a hospital ball. So there's a couple things. I wouldn't say it was a perfect day from Jordan Love, but when you have a few of the throws that he had in some big moments, it is worth noting that Jordan had some unbelievable plays in this practice. Let's start with the lesser of the three, which was still, I thought, a pretty cool play. Jordan, it's like a third down. I forget, they went through a variety of third and eights. Like they just went third and eight, third and eight, third and eight, offense versus defense. And then they also had some scenarios where just throughout the course of like move the ball periods and 2-minute drills where some third downs came up as well. I think it was in the third and eight period, but either way, it was a third down and right around that down and distance for Jordan. And he buys a little bit of time in the pocket. And it's Xavier McKinney one-on-one versus Malik Heath. And McKinney is on Heath. Like he's pretty darn close to him, to the point where we've learned, and everyone knows, you don't really throw towards Xavier McKinney when he's in the vicinity and that sort of range, because he is much more likely to end up with the ball than your receiver is. Well, he's guarding Malik Heath. You can also kind of tell that McKinney is watching Love. And he's like, Love's kind of scanning the field and he's looking where if he comes across the middle or something, that he might have the opportunity to come off of Malik Heath and maybe go jump the route. Jordan sees Malik and while he's kind of looking downfield, I wouldn't call it a full no look pass, but it's more like corner of the eye. And I think he's trying to bait almost Xavier McKinney to think he's still looking over the middle. And then without like any, what I would say like tell whatsoever, he just whips it right to Malik Heath and who's right at the sticks, guarded pretty tightly by Xavier McKinney, and fits it in there. Heath gets the ball, picks up the first down. And you could tell McKinney after the play was like, he couldn't believe it because he's like, he had Heath in coverage, and I don't think he thought for a second that Jordan was going to throw it there because he was in the vicinity, and just caught him kind of looking for just a second, got his eyes going over there, and then just absolutely rifled it in to Malik Heath for a first down. So I thought that was a pretty cool play. And you could tell McKinney on that one was like, all right, you got me on that one. Not bad, number 10. But you know, you could tell McKinney wanted maybe that one back a little bit, but that was, I thought, a cool play from Jordan. That was one of the three, the lesser of the three. The next one was one of my favorite Jordan throws of all that I've ever seen him throw, and one of the best anticipation throws that I've ever seen. You were in 2-minute drill, and it starts off, and there's no timeouts in this situation. You're at your own 40, you're down by 7, and the defense is pretty heavily protecting the sidelines because the one thing you can't do is allow a play down the field and or really any play to get out of bounds. And this is about a 25-yard play where he's throwing to Jaden Reed along the sidelines to lead him there and get him out of bounds. I talked about this on the live show afterwards, but I'm in line with this throw. And Jordan steps back. I think he was probably in shotgun, probably took a 5-step drop out of shotgun, and just throws it on a line, good enough air under it, right to the sidelines. And he throws this ball, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, the heck is he going with this? Because he threw it with confidence. Like, you could tell he threw this thing like he had bad intentions for the defense in mind. And I'm scanning the field, and I'm like, where's the, and then Jaden Reed cuts inside, hands catch right along the sideline, toe drag swag, first down, 25 yards out of bounds, no, like 7 seconds off the clock. Talk about the perfect start to a 2-minute drive. You get not only a 25-yard pickup, you get not only a out of bounds, you get a first down. You get everything that you're looking for on this play. And the capital A anticipation throw, as QB school would say, this was a monster capital A anticipation throw by Jordan Love. I mean, he threw this thing from what it looked like before Jaden Reed was even getting ready to go out of his break, put exactly the right pace on it, threw it to exactly the right spot. Jaden Reed cuts it off at the right moment. Beautiful timing. Catches the ball with his hands, 2 feet down inbounds, and then gets out of bounds to stop the clock. That, like I said, one of my favorite throws I've ever seen Jordan Love make. A huge anticipation throw. Just an absolute that. It's pretty rare. I was talking about this as well, but it's pretty rare where I'm like, holy bleep, like where my jaws drop into the ground. We're going to talk about another big play in just a moment. Big deep balls down the field, these things happen and things like that, but these tight window throws where there's no room for error, there's no margin for error, and you throw at that level of anticipation, that was a plus throw from Jordan Love. And then you have another third down situation, and the defense brings an all-out blitz, and Jordan Love does his thing where he knows he's getting pressured. He knows he's going to get a receiver open. So he, gets the ball, takes a few steps back, and then as the pressure's coming, fades a little bit more, throws a deep one. Romeo Doubs, fantastic route. Post route, breaks open, gets through both safeties, Evan Williams and Javon Bullard on the play. Love finds him, and Rome really accelerates through this catch. Fingertip catch, down along, by his waist. Love put it out there for him. Doubs went and got it. Raced into the end zone, easily it was a few steps beyond Evan Williams and Javon Bullard at that point. Big time play by Romeo Doubs. Phenomenal throw under pressure by Jordan Love and a huge touchdown. I want to say it was like 45 yards on that particular play. So some really, really big time throws for Jordan. Like I said, not a perfect day, but when you have that level of, throw that you're making some very big time throws and some big time moments, that certainly was able to get you to that player of the day status. And to me, definitely stood out at Tuesday's practice. Three plays of the day. We talked about Jordan Love to Reed on the anticipation throw. We talked about Love to Doubs on the deep post. There was one other play of the day. It was in the 2-minute drill for the twos, and Malik Willis also drove his team down the field. It was a 4th and 10, and they're on the 15-yard line. There's very minimal time left. And Mecole Hardman beats Kalen King. I think it was maybe like a little out and up, or either way, you know, gets open into the end zone, kind of near the pylon. And Malik Willis leads him out there perfectly, puts the exact right air underneath it. Hardman catches it with relative ease. Again, beats Kalen King on the play, gets the game, what would have been kind of like a tying touchdown, or at least they're down seven. They get 6 points. We'll talk about what happened on the 2-point conversion in just a little bit. But that was a fantastic catch. And Mecole Hardman has just been clutch as clutch gets in these, you know, sort of late game situations. Going back to mini camps, remember, he had back-to-back days where he had the mini Hail Mary catch, and then he had another one. I forget the exact situation and scenario on that one, but he had another catch right at the last moment in a very similar situation to this. Now we had, like, leave it to Mecole Hardman. If you need something big at the end of a game, he's shown so far that he's able to come up with those big plays. Had another one, but a beautiful play from Malik Willis to Mecole Hardman. All right, some noteworthy players on the day. I thought it was a tough day for Kalen King. On a good news side of things, he had a pass breakup on Malik Heath on a wide receiver screen that, I mean, he recognized the play, shot out of a cannon, immediately past the other blocking wide receivers and into the backfield, breaking up a play on Malik Heath. A little bit of contact there. It was a bang-bang play, but overall, really nice play there from Kalen King. But he had a pass interference. He got beat in the one-on-ones a couple times, beat by Mecole Hardman for the touchdown in kind of a key scenario on 4th and 10. Can't allow him to get behind you like that. So definitely a little bit of a hang with him day from Kalen King. He's had a good camp so far. This one was a little bit tougher. Hopefully he bounces back through the remainder of this week and, of course, in camp moving forward. Savion Williams had a really nice catch along the sidelines and a couple run plays that he was given that he got, I don't know, maybe 5 to 6 yards on both of them. Nothing crazy. There's no big time noteworthy Savion Williams play here. It very much felt like he was much more involved with the ones though than we have seen so far. So love seeing Savion Williams get a little bit more ingrained in the offense. It feels like he's getting more and more confidence as time goes on as well. So I'm excited about that. Also, we did see one play from Savion Williams as a gunner on special teams, or at least one that I noticed, and he got down there instantaneously. Not sure how viable that is for him moving forward, if he's going to get a look at that, you know, full time. But on the one rep that I saw, he looked really darn good doing it, which you can imagine, 6'4", super fast, good physicality. If he can get past that initial jammer, he's going to be down there on that returner pretty quickly, and he was on this particular play. A very rare airmailed snap from Elton Jenkins. Jenkins, I thought, has been really good playing center ever since coming back from the injury issue that he had. But on this particular play, we know all about the bad snaps that have happened, primarily, again, from Donovan Jennings and some of the backup centers and things like that. This is the first one from Jenkins, but Jenkins did have one that he airmailed to Jordan Love. LVN coming up with his daily sack or daily big play. He had another would-be sack very early on in practice, either the first or second play. And then Rashawn Gary had one that probably also would have been a sack, I think, right after that. So back-to-back, good, really nice plays from defensive ends, LVN and Rashawn Gary. I did ask Matt LaFleur prior to practice of like what LVN's doing better with his pass rush plan help get him to the quarterback more. And it was an interesting answer from Matt. He basically said of like, it's more of the mentality that LVN's trying to be a bit too perfect, and that he just sometimes, especially with, you know, all the gifts that he has, he just needs to go. Doesn't always have to be perfect. Just use those gifts that he has to get to the quarterback. Thought that was kind of an interesting answer there from Matt LaFleur. Javon Bullard has struggled in coverage. We can officially say that. The good news is the real issues in coverage for Bullard have come in one-on-ones, which isn't real. It's not exactly how you're going to be utilizing him. He's going to be playing a lot of zone defense. He'll play some safety. He'll play some in nickel as well. But it's not as big of an egregious error from Bullard, but he got beat up twice by Jaden Reed pretty darn good in one-on-ones. And that has been a common occurrence. Like if you see Javon Bullard in one-on-ones, I don't know that he's won one of them yet. Like it's been that brutal in one-on-ones for Javon. So he needs to work on his coverage, as one-on-one coverage for sure. That's been something that's been a problem. He was involved in the play to Romeo Doubs on the deep 45-yard bomb. Don't have all 22 of it. Don't know how he was in that position. If it was more on Evan Williams, if it was more on Javon Bullard, if it was kind of split between the both of them, or maybe it's just a great play by the offense. Don't know for sure, but he was definitely involved in that play as well. The Jet that you want to see Javon get a little bit better when it comes to the coverage, something that was an issue in 2024 and has been an issue so far in camp a little bit as well. Thought Malik Willis bounced back in a really nice way today after having a rough last week. He had a, you know, what, three, maybe even four interception day during the course of the week, and then had the three interception day at family night. I thought today he settled in much more, made some big time throws, including that play to Mecole Hardman, had a fun run play that we'll talk about in just a moment as well. But I thought this was a really nice bounce back day for Malik Willis, a player that we don't talk about a lot, who's had a really nice camp, has been Deslon Alexander. Deslon Alexander has come up with at least one play, one big play at pretty much every single practice so far. This is one of those players, we've talked about it. He's a practice squad guy, probably. I don't think he has any real legitimate chance to break the 53. I love having him on the practice squad if that's where he ends up, because I think you can legitimately call him up if you need him as like a number four, number five defensive end. You need to give him, you know, 5 to 10 snaps as a rotational guy. I think he's good enough to handle it. I really do. If you can kind of stack that on the practice squad as like your sixth, seventh guy, that's a nice thing to have overall. So yeah, he's had a really strong camp. He was one of the players they picked up a year ago that when we did our tapes, or when I did my tape study on him, I really liked what I saw. He did enough to make it on the practice squad last year, make it into another season with Green Bay, and he's having an even a better training camp this year than he did a season ago. I would expect that there's a very strong chance that he ends up on the practice squad again this year. Nasir Stackhouse continues to make a name for himself. Had a big time run stuff along the defensive line. And then in the one-on-one periods with defensive linemen and offensive linemen going one-on-one, he got the best of Jacob Monk on both of his one-on-one rushes and won both of those pretty easily against Jacob Monk. We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is just starting, but you can already make season-long more or less picks for the 2025 season on Prize Picks. Enter your picks before week one even kicks off. I had an absolute blast winning on Prize Picks last year, and I am gearing up for another epic run in 2025 and already have some key players in mind, including a breakout year from Jordan Love, a sensational second-year performance from both Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., and an unbelievable rookie debut from Ashton Jeanty. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports, and there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, run your game. Thought Jordan Morgan had a nice day from what I saw. There was one particular drive I was trying to keep a little bit better of an eye on him. He had a play against Kingsley Nigbare and then Baron Sorrell, where he won both of those reps pretty easily. Not like I was, again, keeping an eye on him every single play, but from what I did see, I thought he looked much better. It wasn't even that he was looking like terrible or anything like that, but I thought he had a really nice day of practice from what I could tell. And again, you can see the footwork, you can see the movement ability, just kind of learning, again, the nuances of playing in the NFL, but thought today was a good day from Jordan Morgan. And then Jaden Reed, if it's not Jordan Love for player of the day, Jaden Reed very much involved in that conversation as well. He looked phenomenal in the one-on-ones, had that big time anticipation play. And you're just starting to see him get involved more and more within the offense as well. Thought it was a really nice day from Jaden Reed. Some other noteworthy plays, the one-on-ones we talked about a little bit. Jaden Reed got the best of Javon Bullard twice. He easily beat him for a touchdown. And then Bullard actually did a great job on the second one-on-one, jamming him at the line of scrimmage. Reed got a little bit off balance, regained his balance, then still beat Bullard and still came up with a reception on that play. Romeo Doubs and Carrington Valentine had some really fun battles in one-on-one. Carrington Valentine at one point had a pass breakup against Romeo Doubs, and Carrington Valentine went on to talk some real serious smack. And Romeo Doubs responded by completely toasting him for a touchdown and said that they had three reps on the day. Doubs won two. Carrington Valentine won one, and Romeo was happy to tell everyone that he was, you know, he went two of three or two and one on the day against CV. CV could only hang his head after the play. So a lot of smack talk after the second one from CV. Romeo Dobbs dusted him for a touchdown on the final one. Johnny Lumpkin also had a pretty sweet mossing of Evan Williams. Evan Williams had great coverage, and Lumpkin just went up over Evan Williams, mossed him a little bit, and came down with the ball for a big reception in those one-on-ones as well. Adrian Cooper had your daily tackle for loss, where he is just teleporting into the backfield out of absolutely nowhere and comes up with a big play. Today's was on Josh Jacobs. Chris Brooks had an inside run that was the single sauciest run that I've seen in Chris Brooks's time in Green Bay. A little bit of a wiggle in the hole that I didn't know that he necessarily possessed. So that was a great sign from him. We know he does all the other stuff, right? Catches the ball to the backfield, great pass protector, run blocker, can play a little special teams, and he's a good runner. But if he adds a little bit of sauce to that and can show that he's got a little bit more dynamic playmaking ability than what we even saw, that's a huge sign for Chris Brooks as well. Again, he continues his trajectory to making this 53-man roster. And then Brandon McManus did in fact miss a 50-plus yarder. It doinked off the left upright, but he had multiple clutch kick opportunities in two-minute drills. He made all of those, and he had multiple 50-yarders throughout the course of the day, only missed the one, and that was, again, off the left upright, just barely missing that one. He remains pretty freaking impressive throughout the course of training camp and family night so far. Your two-minute drills, we talked about Jordan's a little bit. He had that big-time anticipation throw to Jaden Reed. He did get all the way down to, I think, the 20-yard line, had four plays in a row that were needed to get the first down or had some opportunity, and just it ultimately went four and out, fizzled out at the end. There was one play where I thought maybe he had the opportunity to hit Josh Jacobs right near the pylon. It would have been a really tough throw. I think Jacobs afterwards was frustrated that the ball didn't quite get there, because I think he felt like he worked himself open right into that corner of the end zone, but just outside, ended up out of bounds, falling incomplete, and ultimately the defense won that first two-minute drive. The next one was the one where you had Willis to Hardman for the touchdown at the last moment. It was fourth and 10, 15-yard line, basically no time left, had to have it. And again, Willis to Hardman to go down by one. They decide to go for two. It's a read option play, and he makes the read inside, decides to keep it, keeps it to the outside. And then, you know, Julian Hicks goes to fake block on the play and then releases to the end zone. And when I say this looked like a sidewinder in baseball, like the drops all the way down, and he dropped all the way down to his side, did a sidearm throw in the back of the end zone to find Julian Hicks for the 2-point conversion and the win for the number twos. That was a really great drive for Malik Willis. You then had a situation where you had no timeouts. The ball was at the 50 and you needed to get in field goal range, get a spike and stop the clock in time so that McManus would have a field goal attempt. Love hit Jaden Reed 15 yards over the middle. In that two-minute drill, again, continuously having a nice day for Jaden Reed, but 15 yards to get to the 35-yard line, setting up about a 52-yard field goal for the win. McManus drills that one. Then you had the same situation, one of my favorite plays of the day. Just love the creativity. It's a third and 10 situation. You're at the 50-yard line, first and 10, you're at the 50-yard line. There's, again, 15 seconds left, and you have to be able to get into field goal range and stop the clock. So the defense is covering, of course, you know, to make sure that you can't get that short middle of the field so that you can get the ball and get the spike. And they're covering the sidelines really well. Well, what they didn't expect was a run play. And the run play is they go quarterback power with Malik Willis. Now you've got, you know, a three-man line. You've got one guy wide nining basically to the opposite side. He's not involved in the play. You've got a defensive tackle, and then you've got one more defensive end. You've basically got a two-man line that you have to worry about. You've got your full five-man offensive line blocking with Malik Willis running power. They get a full line going to the right side. He runs power behind it. He picks up a first down, gets out of bounds, stops the clock, gets McManus into field goal range, and he, of course, drills it. And then you had another situation where Love had the opportunity. It was at the 40-yard line. There was, I think, 10 seconds left, maybe 15, and no timeouts. And you got basically one shot to get a little bit extra yardage. Love couldn't complete the pass on that particular play. I think it was to Golden, just ended up incomplete. So it stays at the 40. McManus comes in for a 57-yarder. Dude hit it like it could have been 90, and I think that thing might have made it. He crushed that thing, 57-yarder, right down the middle, and this thing is still way up on the net when that thing crossed over. Just incredible leg strength and just with ease, with absolute ease for Brandon McManus. Some other miscellaneous notes. Corey Ballantyne was back wearing number 35. He was primarily working with the threes, did have a nice pass breakup on the day. Jamon Johnson, the rookie off-ball linebacker, undrafted free agent, with the twos was actually getting some work with the mic at the mic position. So you had Christian Welch, Tyron Hopper as the outside linebackers, and then Jamon Johnson, the rookie, as the mic. And then when they went to nickel, Johnson went off the field and it was just Welch and Hopper as your two linebackers. And then last but not least, no word from Matt LaFleur on if the starters will play this Saturday against the Jets or not. We'll take a look at it once we get there. My gut says no, that they're not going to, but we'll see what Matt decides to do. And if any of these starters, some will, of course, but the main ones, Jordan Love, et cetera, we'll see if they actually get any time. Again, my gut tells me no, but we shall see moving forward. All right, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I will be back on Wednesday immediately following practice again to go over all the key takeaways. Plus, we will have the full breakdown on Thursday of Wednesday's practice, just like today's as well. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Griff Hen Blee. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you're subscribed, following along, getting those automatic downloads. Those things help a ton. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.